Hello again. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and so one who fears is not yet perfect in love. These words from today's first reading from the first letter of John coincide with the gospel of Jesus walking on the water, where we hear Jesus exclaim, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Both of these passages may serve as sources of consolation and encouragement to us, especially as we encounter the stresses of the pandemic crisis. Whether we worry about the health of loved ones, are anxious about getting vaccinated or getting tested, or are concerned about the ongoing socioeconomic implications of this worldwide crisis, we are all caught up in a horrendous and persistent storm. But perhaps in response to these challenges, we may be encouraged by and respond courageously to the words of John and then Jesus. Certainly, saints such as the only American male saint, St. John Neumann, whose feast is today, offer an example of someone who we can be sure prayed over and lived today's words of encouragement from sacred scripture. Allow me to say a bit more about America's only canonized male saint. First of all, St. John Neumann is not to be confused with St. John Henry Newman, who recently canonized English saint. John Neumann was born in what is now the Czech Republic. After studying in Prague, he came to New York at the age of 25 and was ordained a priest. He did missionary work in New York until he was 29, when he joined the Redemptorists, became its first member to profess vows in the United States. Neumann continued missionary work in Maryland, Virginia, and Ohio, where he became popular with the people, especially the Germans. On February 5th, 1852, the Holy See appointed John Neumann Bishop of Philadelphia. At the time, Philadelphia had a large and expanding Catholic immigrant population. Germans who fled the Napoleonic and other continental wars had been followed by Irish fleeing the Great Famine caused by the potato plight. Soon Italians and other Southern and Eastern European Catholics would arrive. We can therefore appreciate how often Bishop Neumann would have prayed today's passages of consolation and courage from John and Jesus. At the time, Philadelphia was an industrializing mercantile hub with many jobs for people with little command of the English language. The waves of immigration resulted in tensions in the city with native-born residents who had to compete for work in difficult economic times. Anti-Catholic riots took place in the time of Neumann, especially in Philadelphia. And these Philadelphia nativist riots occurring and against Irish Catholics began to arrive when they arrived in significant numbers in the city. Soon more riots occurred, mainly since the town was a stronghold of the Know-Nothing political party, known for its anti-immigrant and anti-Catholic prejudice. Indeed, if today you were to visit the cathedral, now Basilica, of Saints Peter and Paul in Philadelphia, you will find that the windows are very high so as to prevent bricks and rocks being thrown into them by the anti-nativists. During Neumann's administration, new parish churches were completed at the rate of nearly one per month, to encourage savings and to support the financial needs of the Catholic community in Philadelphia. He directed the creation of a mutual savings bank, Beneficial Bank, in 1853. On a personal note, my parents banked at this local Beneficial Bank. As many immigrants settled in close communities from their hometowns and with speakers of the same language, churches became associated with immigrants from particular regions. They were known as national parishes. Their parishioners often did not speak English or know how to obtain needed social services. I recall how in the Philadelphia area known as Roxborough, not far from where I grew up, there were, within a few square blocks, four ethnic Catholic parishes. Norman became the first bishop to organize a diocesan school system, as the Catholic parents wanted their children taught in the Catholic tradition. They feared Protestant influence and discrimination in public schools. Under Neumann's administration, the number of parochial schools in his diocese increased from 1 to 200. His fluency in several languages endeared him to the many new immigrant communities in Philadelphia. As well as ministering to newcomers in his native German, Neumann also spoke Italian fluently. A growing congregation of Italian speakers received pastoral care in his private chapel, and Neumann eventually established in Philadelphia the first Italian national parishes in the country. Bishop Neumann actively invited religious institutes to establish new houses within the Diocese of Philadelphia to provide necessary social services. In 1855, Neumann supported the foundation of a congregation of religious sisters in the city, the Sisters of St. Francis of Philadelphia. Later, they were to found Bishop Neumann University outside of Philadelphia. Neumann brought the school sisters of Notre Dame from Germany to assist in religious instruction and staff an orphanage. He also intervened to save the Oblate Sisters of Providence from dissolution. This congregation of African-American women was founded by Haitian refugees in Baltimore. Finally, I should note that four members of our Jesuit parish staff, Fathers Kelly, Earl, Woody, and myself, are products of the Philadelphia parochial school system. And so you might say that we continue to be blessed by the vision of St. John Neumann. As American Catholics, we may pray then that the life and legacy of this great American saint continues to inspire and encourage his priests and lay people alike, namely to find consolation in the words from John and of Jesus, "Be not afraid."